Would you join me in prayer? Jesus, we come before you today hungry for your word. Lord, we cannot live on bread alone. We need your word to feed our souls, to give us life, to set us free, to draw us into relationship with you. So Holy Spirit, come and anoint my feeble words. Speak to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I spent a lot of time speaking to high school students who are preparing for college. First slide, Uncle Don. And what I find to be true about almost all of them is that they're trying to participate in as many different activities as possible so that they can show on their college applications that they're an extremely well-rounded person who possesses all types of skills and abilities. They believe that by doing this, whether rightly or wrongly, I'm not convinced that this is true, but they believe that by doing this, they will impress the admissions offices at various colleges and that they'll be admitted. Unfortunately, though, they often prioritize their involvement in all these clubs and activities above their inward spiritual development. They're often more concerned about appearing well-rounded on the surface, on the outside, than about truly becoming mature on the inside. As a result, they often arrive at college with an impressive resume that any adult would envy, with a list of activities and clubs and all their accomplishments, but without a clear sense of their own identity, without a clear understanding of how God is shaping and developing them, without a deep realization of who God is calling them to become. We talk a lot in our youth group about how knowing ourselves is possible only as we come to know God. In other words, if you want to know who you are, you should not spend all your time looking in the mirror at yourself. No, you want to know who you are, you look to God. And let God show you in His way and His time who He has created you to be. As we do so, we'll begin to understand and enter into the process of spiritual maturity. For the last couple of months, we've been on a journey together as a congregation, a journey of becoming a healthy church. The destination toward which we are traveling, next slide, please. The destination toward which we are traveling as a church has four parts. We learned that it involves unity of the faith, unity in our deep experiential knowledge and experience of Jesus Christ, third, maturity, and fourth, the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, this is the goal toward which we are moving as a church. Last time we learned that knowing God, having a relationship with God, is not just about head knowledge, even though it matters very, very much whether we accept God's truth revealed to us through Scripture. As Jonathan Edwards teaches us, we need light, which refers to correct belief, but we also need heat, which refers to a deep, personal encounter with the living God. Last time we learned that knowing Jesus is to know God. Knowing Jesus is to be one with Christ through the cross. And knowing Jesus is to become like Him. Today we turn our attention to the next part of this fourfold destination toward which we are moving as a church, which is maturity. Now, the word maturity means completeness. It refers to being fully grown, whole, complete as a person, someone who acts like an adult, not like a child. Now, raise your hand if you know someone who's immature. Be honest. Oh, don't point at each other. Don't point. Don't cast glances. All right. Raise your hand if you are immature. Okay, a few hands went up. Okay, good. Well, when you think of someone who's immature, you probably mean that they don't have their age, or perhaps their behavior is more appropriate for someone younger than they are. They are not a fully grown, whole, complete person. And this is usually revealed by our actions. Today, I'm going to talk about spiritual maturity, about becoming the spiritually grown, spiritually whole, spiritually complete person that God is calling you to be. Did you know, though, that spiritual maturity has nothing to do with age? It has nothing to do with age. In fact, there's some old people who have not yet become spiritually mature, and there's some teenagers who've already begun to walk in a mature relationship with Jesus Christ. Everyone here today, no matter what your physical age is invited by God to enter into spiritual maturity. And so let's together see what the Bible says about this maturity that God calls us as individuals and also as a church to enter into. And we will do so today by looking at Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 13, in order to see what this process of becoming spiritually mature is all about. We're going to see that it's marked by two realities, the flesh and the spirit. We're also going to see that there are two processes involved, which we can describe as once for all and more. Two realities, the flesh and the spirit, two processes, once for all, more and more. By looking at these things, we're going to get to the heart today of the spiritual transformation that God is calling us to experience, by which Jesus becomes the Lord of our lives. Next slide, please. To begin with, Paul reminds us that there are two realities that we must be aware of as Christians, the flesh and the spirit. The flesh is a sinful power within us that opposes God. And the Spirit refers to the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us when we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. Paul tells us in Romans 8, 5 through 6, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. By this, Paul wants us to be absolutely clear that these two realities are mutually exclusive. Okay? They are mutually exclusive. You cannot live according to the flesh and according to the Spirit at the same time. You must make a choice. If you choose to live according to the flesh, then you will constantly think about how to gratify your sinful desires. But if you live according to the Spirit, then you'll constantly think about pleasing God. You must make the choice. Each option is radically different from the other. Paul then heightens this contrast. He says, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Now, if you want a path that leads to death, then by all means, let yourself be controlled by your sinful flesh. But if you desire something better today, if you desire something better, then allow yourself to be governed by the Holy Spirit, who leads to life and peace. Paul wants us to understand very clearly that living by the flesh and living by the Spirit are not simply two different, equally valid options. He wants us to be totally clear in our minds that he's not talking about going to a coffee shop and trying to decide between a green tea frappuccino and the pumpkin spice latte, right? He's not talking about something where, okay, this one's good for some people, this other one's good for other people. No. Paul is teaching us that these two options, living by the flesh and living by the Spirit, are deeply opposed to each other. He says, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Each person, each one of us here today, must choose which side we are on, which path we will live according to. Will you live your life controlled by your sinful desires? Or will you live your life surrendered to the Holy Spirit? For those of you here today who have not yet come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, consider for just a moment how empty, lonely, and dark the life lived according to the sinful flesh really is. Next slide, please. Colossians 1, 12 through 14 speaks of God rescuing those who believe in Jesus Christ from the dominion of darkness and bringing us into the kingdom of light, which is the kingdom of the Son he loves. Darkness and light are images of the difference between living by the flesh and living by the Spirit. To live life without Christ, to live in such a way that you are driven by your sinful desires from one empty experience to another, none of which are able to satisfy the longing of your soul, that is to live in darkness. That is to stumble along blindly toward death. Yet when we look to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, by believing that He is the Son of God who came to earth, who bore our sinful flesh upon the cross, and who experienced the punishment we deserve, and when we then respond to this truth by confessing our sin to Him, turning from it, and asking Him to be the Lord and the boss of our lives, then we move from darkness into light. At that moment, it's as though God flips on the light switch, and suddenly we see ourselves, we see the world, and we see God in a completely new way. Our hearts are flooded with God's life, with God's peace, and we for the first time experience a joy that can satisfy the longing of our souls. Life in the flesh or life in the Spirit? A life of stumbling in the darkness toward death or a life filled with the peace, joy, and life of God? Which do you choose today? After making sure that we're absolutely clear regarding the difference between the two options facing us, Paul then teaches us of two processes that are at work within believers in Christ, which I'll describe today as once for all and more and more. Once for all refers to what Christ already accomplished on the cross. Paul says in verse 9, "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ." Now let's unpack the logic of that statement. If we look to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we belong to Christ. And if we belong to Christ, then the Holy Spirit lives within us, and we have moved from the realm of the sinful flesh into the realm of the Spirit. We have left the kingdom of darkness, and we've entered into the kingdom of light. Because we belong to Christ, we are given wonderful promises. Our physical body will someday die as a result of sin entering into the world. But the Holy Spirit is at work within us, granting us God's life and God's righteousness. Furthermore, verse 11 tells us that we may look forward with a sure and certain hope to the day when God will raise our bodies from the dead as God raised Jesus from the dead. We will then live forever with God. This is the once for all work that Jesus accomplished through the cross, in which we now receive as a free gift when we look to Him as our Lord and our Savior. There is also, though, a process that we experience more and more and more during our life on earth. This is the process of more and more each day living within the once-for-all reality that God grants to us as His children. Even though Christ has opened the door for us to live by the Spirit, we still have the choice each day whether we will live by the sinful flesh or by the Holy Spirit. This is why Paul writes next in verse 12, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." He speaks of living according to the flesh as though it is still a real option for us as Christians. As though we may taste God's light, God's love, and God's joy, but still choose to live life controlled by the flesh. Those who live that way are described by some writers as carnal or fleshly or dead Christians. When we find that we're being controlled by the sinful flesh, Paul tells us that we must put to death the misdeeds of the body. This is the more and more process by which we increasingly experience the once-for-all victory that Christ offers us in our daily lives. Romans 6, the passage we read in the responsive reading, enables us then to understand this process more deeply. There we read in verses 6 and 7, "For we know that our old self was crucified with Christ, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." Then Paul says in verse 11 that we are to count ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Paul teaches us in this passage that our old sinful flesh was crucified with Christ, past tense. It already happened. It's ancient history. It's an event that happened 2,000 years ago. We were crucified with Christ, past tense. This has already happened once for all. However, along with this once for all, past tense reality of us being crucified with Christ, there is also a present tense process, a present day reality, which we experience in our lives more and more. Paul says, in light of what Christ has done in the past, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness. You see, we as Christians can make the fatal error of thinking that we can come to Christ, believe in Him, offer our lives to Him, but then live according to the sinful flesh, obeying its evil desires. When we're tempted to do so, we need to, by the Spirit, put to death the misdeeds of the body. Well, how do we do this practically? When you find yourself as a believer, as a child of God, tempted to live according to the flesh, pray a prayer like this. Lord, I am tempted to commit this sin. I am being tempted and led astray by my sinful flesh. I know, Lord, that I have been crucified with Jesus Christ and that Christ has won the victory over sin in my life. And so I surrender these sinful desires to you right now. And I ask you to put them to death through the death of Christ. Allow me, Lord, to live in your light by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, as we pray prayers like this, asking God to allow us to experience more and more each day the once-for-all victory over sin that Christ achieved on the cross, we will find that we are growing into maturity as a child of God, no matter how young we might be. A couple of years ago, a friend of ours gave Bonnie and me an amaryllis bulb in a clay pot. Next slide, please. Actually, next slide. I skipped a few. Next slide. Okay, so I skipped them all. Okay, there we go. All right, we're still getting the kinks worked out. Okay, this was a Christmas gift someone gave us. And I'm thinking, this is the worst Christmas gift ever, right? So this ugly... To me, it looked like a dead, dry, ugly turnip, right? Who wants that for Christmas? However, the pot came with a little sign explaining that all we need to do is water it. And I'm like, yeah, right, whatever. Nothing can bring a dead turnip back to life, right? So I was very skeptical, but we were leaving town for a couple of days, so we handed the ugly, dead thing over to Bonnie's mom, And we asked her to just water it every day. You know, there's no hope, we know. Don't have high expectations. It's a dead turnip. But follow the little sign, go ahead and water it. But when we came back, I couldn't believe my eyes. Next slide. The dead, dry, ugly turnip, in a very short amount of time, had sprouted tall green leaves and a beautiful flower. The water had awakened the amaryllis bulb to become the colorful, vibrant, living, beautiful plant that it was intended to be. In the same way, living by the Spirit day by day awakens us to become the people that God is calling us to be. Putting to death the misdeeds of our flesh through Christ's cross and surrendering our life to the life of the Spirit within us is like receiving fresh, clean water poured out upon our weary, dead, dry souls, causing us to truly come alive. Today, may we each experience more and more the once-for-all victory over our sinful flesh that Jesus Christ accomplished for us on the cross. Would you pray with me? Jesus, I thank you so much that you call dead, dry, ugly sinners like us to newness of life that we cannot even imagine. Jesus, today we surrender our sinful flesh to you once again, and we ask you to put it to death by the cross of Jesus Christ. And we ask you to make us alive by the power of your Holy Spirit within us so that we can truly become the men and women that you are calling us to be, so that we can, no matter what our physical age, begin to walk in spiritual maturity with you day by day. We ask this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.